You're listening to Marketplace Weekend. I'm David Lazarus, in for Lizzie O'Leary. Today we're talking about beginnings, new starts. That tune tells us it's wedding season, and that's a pricey time of year. Dressing up, shelling out for a hotel and a gift, hosting a bridal shower, a bachelor party, or, yeah, walking down the aisle. I do also means ka-ching. But you don't want to put off the money talk until after the honeymoon. You want to be open and candid up front about all aspects of your soon-to-be-wedded finances, from the state of your respective credit scores to whether you'll be pooling your cash in a joint account. Rob Luchow and Jesse Rosen have tied the knot, and so is their money.
We got married May 10th of last year, almost a year ago.
We were dating for about 2.5 years before. And
No.
We
were dating for 3 years before.
And we were engaged for about a year prior to getting married.
We talked about money in terms of being cautious about money. Like, could we afford to go on this vacation? What was I making? What was he making? Because things were separate at that point. And I probably was more concerned about contributing equally.
We also, I think, come from a bit of a different philosophical place when it comes to money, and not, I think you tend to be on the more frugal side of things. And I don't want to say that I'm a splurger, but I definitely came from the world where, like, if you want it, you can have it. And obviously we weren't buying ridiculous things, but if you need a nice dinner, like, it's okay to go do that. So I think in our relationship, we also had that dichotomy.
That's fair. I would say that I am money nervous and you're money comfortable.
Oh, that's
even
nice.
Though we both have a fair understanding of kind of what we have and what we want in the future.
As we were dating, and I think when you were engaged, you decided to leave your full-time job and pursue writing, which obviously I'm tremendously supportive of. And I think we had to have a realistic conversation about me taking on a little bit more of the financial burden in that sense. You know, obviously I was comfortable with it because I believe in you and your career, and figured this will all even out someday, maybe not right now, but that's the hope.
That was when I started to get really concerned about having someone be an impartial guide. I like to think that we're smart people, but like not a business class between us.
No,
just
I
didn't
openly
know.
Got a C in macroeconomics.
And I didn't take it.
As we started to get together, I think we did want to really take that to the next level and have a better understanding of, even when you're engaged, knowing what best to do with your money.
I didn't want to fight about it. We started talking about seeking the help of a financial advisor and ultimately went that way a little bit before getting married. Part of that for me was about having another person that we could talk to about this that would help us not play a blame game about money or weigh those big decisions so that they were more financial and less emotional and just kind of be professional about it, so that it was something that we could kind of a little bit separate from our marriage, knowing that there's no way that it doesn't become a factor.
The truth is, I think that our money is all one big pot of money. And so even though I have a credit card that is only under my name and we have a joint credit card and then you have your own credit card, it's all coming from the same pot. The split isn't a traditional split that way, but there's definitely times where I oddly want to pay things using my own credit card, even though I technically know it's all the same money, but there's something that's still kind of a nice emotional thing, feeling like I paid for this when it comes to a gift.
And also the way that it works for us is that we can determine how much money to keep in our separate accounts versus to put into savings. So I made the decision that I wanted less money in my account so that more money could go into savings. And I kind of feel good about that. Like, I'm putting more in. You did the same. When I take something out of the personal account, I really think about it. Like, I've reserved this much money. So do I need this facial? Yes. It may sound to people who are thinking about getting married that having an advisor is something that is only necessary if you have a lot of money. But I actually feel like the opposite, that because we're starting out, it's even more valuable. I would
feel
different.
Well, it's funny. When you're getting married, people usually, you know, if you're religious, you often sit down with a priest or a rabbi, or people will encourage you to take like a few therapy sessions. But like, I say go meet with a financial advisor, because that is so critical in a relationship, that, you know, the whole point of this is figuring out how to work as a couple with your money. And thankfully, we have always been really strong emotionally together. And in this case, not that we weren't strong financially, but it was probably the one thing that we would have wanted to be more secure going into marriage, and to have this person help us, I think has made it, you know, has made us even stronger.
I would say we were not strong financially, and now we are.
That was more definitive than I put it.
To learn more about how a couple should approach the money side of marriage, I spoke with Louis Barajas, a certified financial planner. Hiya, Louis. Now, one thing I don't get here is, if we're talking about moolah, doesn't that take all the romance out of the equation?
The romance is taken away a little bit, but you know what? Transparency, honesty, integrity with your money creates a trusting relationship, and all relationships are based on trust. And I think the number one stress in marriage are finances, is debt. And if we can kind of, you know, solve those issues at the beginning, you're really starting a really strong marriage.
All right, so let's talk about the actual things you need to do. Obviously, your first step is openness. You need to be clear and transparent with your partner.
People are getting married a little bit older now. They've accumulated a certain number of assets. And that's where the transparency comes in. Like, do you want to have a prenuptial agreement done? And that'll take the romance out real quickly. But it's really important that people do that because, again, I, as a financial planner, have to deal with probability, not possibility. And the probability is that, you know, over 50% of most people that get married end up in divorce. And what's the first thing that you have to do when somebody files a divorce is file a financial statement. So you need to protect yourself.
All right, let's say she has a really good financial profile and he's coming in with a lot of debt. How do you deal with a situation like that?
Well, it's not that it's a good or a bad situation. As long as the couple knows about the financial situation that they're in, the debt or, you know, the school loans that they're coming in together, and they have a plan to work those out, that's okay. There's not a problem with that, as long as they understand how they're going to work those through. Because life will change on people, and so you just have to be very fluid with what's going on. So, you know, financial lives change a lot. People get sick, people get divorced, people want to stay home and take care of their kids.
Now, what if the two people don't have matching credit scores? Let's say he has a terrific credit score, but she is kind of lagging. Do you co-sign for loans at this point? Do you try and bring the other one up, or do you try and keep it separate so that the one with the higher credit score isn't dragged down?
Well, that depends. I'll share with you a great story. I got married. I had a wonderful credit score. My wife didn't have a credit score. We bought a house. We bought it in my name only. So over a few years, we really worked on her credit and developing her credit score. As soon as she got it up, we refinanced the house, put her name on the house. And, you know, David, right now, she's got a better credit score than I do. And I've got a wonderful credit score. So it just depends on what you're trying to buy, whether you're buying a car, whether you're buying a house, or you're just going to get her or him a credit card to build their credit. Again, every situation will depend upon what you're trying to accomplish.
And over the lifespan of a relationship, the two credit scores even out.
Absolutely.
When my wife and I got married, we made a deliberate decision to pool all our money into single accounts. We thought that was an expression of the trust we were placing in one another and the commitment.
And how did it work for you?
Well, it worked out well. Thank goodness we've been together for a long time now. And yet, is that the smart play? Is it wiser for two people to maybe pool their money in a joint account, but at the same time keep little life rafts floating aside in separate accounts?
I'm the same way. When I got married, I did it the exact same way that my parents did. They had one joint account. We just pool all our money, pay all the bills through there, automate our savings, automate, you know, our retirement plan, and whatever we have left can spend it on our vacations. Some people come in and they're older and they're very independent. And sometimes what you do is you can do a joint account and each other can keep their own separate accounts. Pool the money that you're going to need for the house, the utility bills, but maybe keep a little separate on the side. That may work. Whatever's best for the couple, again, that's the most important thing, is to have those kind of conversations before you get married, not afterwards.
There have been some articles lately about so-called financial infidelity, where people are not disclosing financial issues to their partner, which leads to trouble down the road. It seems as though no matter how you approach a marriage or any relationship for that matter, trust is the bedrock. And when you stir finances into the mix, if you're not trusting one another, you're virtually setting yourself up for problems down the road.
That's it. As soon as somebody in that relationship find out that there's something going on that wasn't disclosed, then you get other problems. And those will go beyond just financial issues. Those will go, whether it's emotional, physical, spiritual issues will pop up. But what's important to deal with here also are things that other people don't think about when they're getting married. I just met with somebody who's getting married a couple of days ago, and we were doing a tax rejection because all of a sudden we had two people that were filing as single, are now going to have to file married in 2015. They're combining incomes. We're looking at beneficiary designations. We had these single people who had group, term life insurance policies, and they had each other had named their mothers as beneficiaries. And now we've got to name each other as beneficiaries. Or all of a sudden, we're planning these estate plans, where they have these durable powers of attorney, advanced health care directives, where they're naming each other, but before they had their parents. So there's so many different issues when it comes to getting married that you've got to really start sitting down and ideally meet with either a financial planner or make a list of all the items that you got to start thinking about.
So I should fess up to my wife about that big pile of bitcoins that I've got online.
Nice. Okay. You should fess up to your wife. Absolutely.
Louis Barajas is a certified financial planner. Louis, thanks as always.
David, thank you.